Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to share your word today. And Lord, I trust that you'll speak to the hearts now. It's your word. It's precious. It's powerful. And Lord, it'll accomplish what you desire and want in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A crisis of faith. Did you ever have a crisis of faith? Oh, I'm sorry. Little ones can be dismissed. Go to junior church. Do you ever have a crisis of faith in your life? You ever have a time in your life where it was like a lapse of faith? You doubted? You wondered if God heard your prayer? I think there's times in our life that we've all been there. We've all gone through that. Now, Jesus spoke this in the book of Luke. It also is recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, that the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, Paul warned Timothy that he was to hold fast to his faith, because there were so many concerning the faith that had suffered shipwreck, 1 Timothy 1. And 19. Also, Peter had things to say about this as well. He also warned that a crisis of faith would take place in the last days. And we are kept, it says, in 1 Peter 1:5, by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And then he adds, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith is tested by fire. In studying some other places of Scripture just this week, the Lord allowed certain ones to remain in the area of the promised land that the Lord was going to give to his people. He didn't drive them all out, although he could have, but he chose not to. And so he chose to allow certain ones to remain there. And the scripture says the purpose and reason for that was to test his people, to test them. We think of the suffering and trials that we go through. He does the same thing for us, to test us. Peter was addressing those who had went through trial after trial, and he told them only the Lord knows what it takes to produce a faith that is more precious than gold. And right now he's using our trials to do that. You see, God is looking for fruit in our lives. He wants you to be fruitful. And he wants you to be fruitful not for yourselves, but for you to bless and encourage others. So he's allowing things to come into your life so you can be a blessing to others. You can say, I know what that's like. I've been there. I know what that's like. And I'll be praying for you. I know what it's like. I'll pray for you. So many times we allow things, we get involved in things, we get so busy that we forget that God is working a plan in us. He wants us to be able to help and share with others. It's not just about me. It's about others. There's been many great servants of God throughout history that had passed the test, and they became the giants of faith. It happened during some frightful times in their lives, but their testimony became one of great faithfulness. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, there's a list of many of them. You remember the name Enoch? Does that come to mind? Enoch was not, for God took him. Do you ever wonder what would have caused God to take a man like Enoch? I mean, Enoch didn't taste death. He didn't have to die. God just took him. That's amazing. Some believe that Enoch might be one of the witnesses in the tribulation period, because Enoch didn't die. And they think that Elijah was might be the other one, those two, Enoch and Elijah. That's just a thought. But then we have Noah in that list, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, and many, many others. But there are some sad cases of those who failed in their times of crisis. God had a plan for them. And it was the same as it was for all those others who endured their trials faithfully. But there were some that crumbled in their trials. They disobeyed God and they turned away from faith. And so here we have two that I'm going to talk about today. One failed and one did not. The one I want to talk about that failed is King Solomon. King Solomon and the Apostle Paul endured the crisis of faith, but Solomon failed the test. Solomon was blessed with everything that life could offer. He had a godly heritage. He had a supernatural calling. He had a personal encounter with the Lord. God blessed him with wisdom that surpassed all of the world's wisdom. His anointing was clear to all. He was renowned. He was admired throughout the whole world. The temple he built in Jerusalem was known as the grandest religious structure of its day. Solomon wrote thousands of proverbs and songs. He was successful in everything he put his hand to. The great blessings it speaks of in 1 Kings chapter 4, 34, it says, men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. One of these visitors that came was the Queen of Sheba. She was left breathless by Solomon's devotion to God's house as she watched and beheld the beauty of the devotion. She was astounded by the happiness of all the people in Solomon's realm. In her eyes, Solomon's kingdom was paradise, heaven on earth. Thousands of people served Solomon. He boasted that his every desire, every want, every pleasure was fulfilled. So why did this godly man end up saying that it was all futile and in vain? Why did he say that man was no better than a beast, dying the same way a dog dies? I looked on all the works that my hands had done, on the labor in which I toiled, and indeed all was vanity, grasping for the wind. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11. I believe with most theologians that Solomon was indeed the writer of Ecclesiastes. He was the preacher, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. And he also the one who concluded, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. How could he arrive at such a negative outlook? You ever been around somebody that negative? How did he ever become that negative? What happened to Solomon? Let's find out. Solomon was a servant of the Lord. He started out right. He cleaned the temple. He got rid of the ministry of Abiathar, who was an unfaithful priest. He had him replaced with Zadok, who was a very righteous priest. Solomon walked in God's statutes, praying humbly, I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. 1 Kings 3:7. When he finished building the temple, which took 7 years, he worked 13 years on his own palace. He prayed it would be a house of repentance and forgiveness, of prayer and supplication. After all these godly things, things changed. Something happened. We read, and it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. His heart wasn't loyal to the Lord his God. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 4, 6, and 9. Solomon had a crisis of faith. What was his crisis? King Solomon loved many foreign women from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. God gave Solomon a direct command. He was not to marry women from these heathen nations. Yet Solomon did just that. He ended up having 700 wives, 300 concubines. He refused to restrain himself from these evil desires. They ruled his heart. I wonder how many times the Spirit of the Lord had warned Solomon. You know God's word. Stop it. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit speaks to us many times about things? It must have happened every time Solomon acquired a new wife. And over time, the king grew deaf to the Holy Spirit's promptings. Soon, he disobeyed God's command. At choice and will, he felt no conviction nor sorrow. Because he did it so often, it became an evil practice of his. He eventually allowed his wife's idols and gods to take control of him. He did that which what the Lord said you should not do, Solomon, but he did it anyway. He chose to do that. He did not heed God's command. Chapter 11 and verse 10. How often does it happen also in our lives as Christians? The Holy Spirit prompts us to forsake a certain besetting sin. Do you know what happens when we continue to ignore the Holy Spirit's promptings? We end up having our own doctrine. We figure out our own doctrine to excuse ourselves to the things we do. We finally convince ourselves it's okay. It's no wonder the scripture says calling evil good and good evil. Don't you think that's where we're at today as a nation? God judged Solomon's lack of faith. The Lord said to Solomon, "Because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant, my statutes which I commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant." 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 11. This is the same kind of judgment that comes to every one of us today, who's deceived by that Solomon state of mind. They don't believe God will judge their sin. And so willfully they indulge in pleasures and lusts of all kinds of things and description. End up calling the evil good and the good evil. Making doctrines to justify their sin. And so they turn God's grace into lasciviousness. Remember hearing Paul speak about that? So much for Solomon. It brings me to Paul, who, unlike Solomon, he passed his test and his crisis of faith. He passed. Paul was one of the most tested, I believe he was one of the most tested servants, other than Job, those two. Everywhere he went, he faced trials and sufferings. He wrote, "The Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Acts 20 and verse 23. So I ask you, before Paul got converted, what did Paul do? He persecuted the the saints. Doesn't it say in the scripture, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. But God also said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. So it's no surprise to me that Paul endured sufferings because of what he did before he got saved. But his grace was sufficient. Every city, Paul said, the Holy Spirit testified that I would be faced with chains and tribulations awaited me. But listen to what Paul said. Paul declared, I don't know what's coming tomorrow, but I do know the Holy Spirit is leading me, and he is faithful to prepare me. And through it all, Paul maintained this testimony, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, Paul, you surely did know about God's grace. Yes, you did. But Satan kept up the attacks, but Paul never quit the ministry that Jesus gave him. The devil couldn't scare him away. Paul encourages us to have that same attitude. He says in 2 Timothy 4:5, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You see, God is looking for that kind of testimony from each of us. He wants, and he's looking for a company of Pauls who will testify of his great faithfulness. When the world is spinning out of control like it is, amidst all the chaos, the servants will be able to still stand steady in the faith and ready to answer when people ask, what shall we do? Where shall we turn? And you'll be able to share with them. Paul's example, it shouts to an unbelieving world that you are faithful, Jesus. You're faithful. And like him, every faithful servant has his blessings. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. May this be our testimony as we hold fast to the faith in these latter days. Would you all stand with me? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning in thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to share your precious word today. It was a blessing to me this morning. And I pray, Lord, it was a blessing for your people today. Father, I pray in their crisis time, I know, Lord, that you will help them and you will strengthen them. And as Paul said, we will finish the course. We'll finish the race. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one today. Lord, may they feel your strength. May the Holy Spirit fill them afresh. And may they be renewed. May they be encouraged to know, Lord, that you hold tomorrow in your hand. And you love us and you care for us. And you're watching us. As your eyes on the sparrow, oh, how much more it is on us. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this day and this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Lord bless you.